السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم، ما بعد. قد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ألا إن أولياء الله لا خوف عليهم ولا هم يحزنون، الذين آمنوا وكانوا يتقون، لهم البشرى في الحياة الدنيا وفي الآخرة، لا تبديل لكلمات الله، ذلك هو الفوز العظيم. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: المسلم أخو المسلم، لا يظلمه ولا يخذله ولا يسلمه، من كان في حاجة أخيه كان الله في حاجته، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. میرے محترم بھائی، دوست و بزرگو، میری ریسپیکٹڈ برادرز، ایلڈرز، فرینڈز، اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ، جسٹ اے ویری کوئک ریمائنڈر، بریف ریمائنڈر فار آل آف اس، دیٹ اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ ہیز سینٹ اس انٹو دس ورلڈ فار اے ویری شارٹ پیریڈ آف ٹائم، اینڈ دا پرپز آف دس ٹائم از ٹو یوٹیلائز اٹ ان اے وے دیٹ ول بی پلیزنگ ٹو اللہ سبحانہ و تعالیٰ، اینڈ ہی ول پریپیئر فار اس آور لائف آف دا ہیئر آفٹر، وچ از دا ٹرو لائف. Life of this world is temporary, it's fleeting, it will come to an end, it has an expiry date. Whereas the life of the Akhirah, the life of the hereafter, will go on forever, eternity. Darul Khuld, the place of eternity. Whereas this is a temporary abode. That's why Allah, in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most righteous, the most pious, the most noble are those people who have the most fear of Allah, which makes them, gives them the ability to refrain, abstain, stay away from those things which bring the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the more we develop this characteristic, this quality of taqwa, fear of Allah, the ability to stay away from those things which lead to the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala, the more Allah Ta'ala becomes happy for us, happy with us, and the more our worldly life becomes better, as well as our life in the Akhirah, which is the main life. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has given us limbs, eyes, ears, hands, feet. All of these limbs, Jawarih, A'za, Allah Ta'ala has given us. The purpose of them, what we need to do is utilize them in a way that every single second we are conscious and cognizant that Allah is watching how I'm using my eyes. Allah is watching how I'm using my hands. Allah is watching how I'm using my feet, how I'm using my ears, what I'm listening to, what I'm looking at. Similarly, my thoughts, Allah is watching my thoughts. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, Allah knows what the eyes see when they think they are deceiving, deceiving eyes. They are looking at things which Allah has made haram and they think nobody's noticed. Nobody's noticed. People around me don't realize. They think I'm a pious person, but my eyes have already done the damage. Similarly, my ears have already listened to something which was damaging. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, when he would pass by a road where there would be music playing, he would pass his hands, put his hands over the ears of his son, so that even the sounds of music would not enter into the ears of his son, because damage happens. Damage happens from what we see, damage happens from what we hear, damage happens from the things that we think of. A person's spirituality, a person's piety, a person's connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes damaged. Just today I was listening to a short clip of Shaykh Zulfiqar Sahib rahmatullahi. He's recently passed away, great saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, very pious man. He mentions that, alhamdulillah, before the age of 30, in my dreams I saw the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam 100 times. Before the age of 30. And he wasn't saying it to show, he was saying, mentioning an incident, how one pious man, you know, was aware of this fact. And he was saying, I don't know how he is aware of this, that this has happened to me, because I'm aware of it. And he said, the reason for this is two things that I can boil it down to. And whenever people ask, why is it that I'm deprived, or why is it that I'm unable to see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my dreams, he mentions this purity, tahara. And first thing is purity of the eyes. That you never ever look at someone who Allah has made it haram for you to look at. Because even that slight thought, that slight gaze, it can totally damage any relationship, any connection that a person has with Allah Ta'ala and with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And second thing is tahara and cleanliness of the physical body. A person remains in the state of wudu. A person is very careful when they use the bathroom, when they use the toilet, when they do istinja, to make sure that my physical cleanliness is to a high degree. That I've gone for a number one, I've gone for a number two, ensure that all the drops of urine have left my private part, I've washed it thoroughly, I've washed it. It shouldn't be that as soon as I start walking, drops of urine are coming out. Similarly, when I do a number two, our deen so beautifully teaches us to wash and then to wipe. To wash with water and also to wipe. Rather, a person should wipe first to remove all the excess dirt, then they should wash and then they should wipe again, to ensure that highest level of hygiene and purity. Because if you just go to wash straight away, you're going to end up using too much water. If a person does a number two and they go to use too much water straight away, they're going to end up using a whole lotus, sometimes two lotus. But if a person wipes all the excess off, then they just need a little bit of water, just to clean and then to wipe again. So our deen teaches us this. And this is something that Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a Yahudi Jewish man, mocked Sayyidina Salman Farsi radiallahu anhu. That your prophet, he teaches you how to use the toilet. So if you didn't know how to use the toilet before that. Sayyidina Salman Farsi so happily said, yes. He teaches us that when we go to the toilet, we should take three stones with us, and we should wipe ourselves, and we should wash and use water as well, and we should sit down and use the toilet, and we should not face the Qibla, and we should not turn our back towards the Qibla. Sayyidina Salman Farsi, that the scholars say about him, that he lived over 100 years, so many years Allah Ta'ala had given him of life, but he understood wisdom when he heard it. There's such an important thing, something that I do on a daily basis. I don't want to do it in an incorrect way, I want to do it in the proper manner that Allah Ta'ala will be pleased with. How many times do you use the bathroom daily? So many times. Some of us more times. You know, people wake up in the middle of the night, two times, three times, four times throughout the day. But a person is going to the bathroom, incurring the anger of Allah Ta'ala just by using the toilet. Incurring the anger of Allah Ta'ala at stage one. And then they expect that after I go to the bathroom, I'm going to do wudu, I'm going to read salah, and all of my problems are going to be solved. But the purity is not even done. This tuhur, this purity is the key to salah. The Prophet ﷺ mentioned, if a person is not even fixing the key to salah, how is the salah going to operate? How is the salah going to work? How is the salah going to be fruitful and beneficial? So this point I was saying, Allah Ta'ala has given us this short life in this dunya. Allah Ta'ala has given us these limbs. And this quality of taqwa I was talking about. Ensure that every single limb Allah has given me is saved and protected from the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. My feet should never walk towards sin. My eyes should never look at disobedience of Allah. My ears should never listen to disobedience of Allah. My mind should not even think about disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if it happens accidentally, a person should do tawbah straight away. The quicker we do tawbah, the quicker we can move on. And the longer we delay tawbah, the longer we are sitting in that state or remaining in that state of sin and state of disobedience of Allah ta'ala. A person does not want to be 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 1 week, 2 weeks, 1 month, 2 months, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry with you because of one sin you did somewhere a few weeks ago. After that, mashallah, you did so much tilawat of Quran, and you did so much salah, and you did so much fasting and all of that. But Allah ta'ala is still angry with you because of that sin you did 4 weeks ago. Allah is still angry with you because of the sin you did a couple of months ago. Because you still haven't said, Ya Allah, I made a mistake, please forgive me. So it's very important, tawbah, 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 ta'ibu min al-dhanbi kamalla dhanbala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, a person who makes tawbah from sin, it's as if they have no sin on them. Allah ta'ala wipes it clean. But until that sin is there, it's a stain, it's a barrier, it's a ha'il, it's coming between me and between my Rabb. Everything else I'm doing, it's like if someone's angry with me. They're angry with me, I've done something to harm them, now I give them a gift, now I'm nice to them. They're not going to get over it until I say, I'm sorry, please forgive me. After I've said, I'm sorry, please forgive me, now the gift is going to work, now the kindness is going to work, now everything's going to work. Allah is still angry with me. People miss Fajr. They wake up in the morning, they realize, oh, I missed Fajr. They do Qadha. But do they lift their hand and say, Ya Allah, I made a big mistake. I miss my Fajr today. I feel so guilty. I feel so remorseful. I feel so regretful. Ya Allah, please forgive me. Please forgive me. We don't think about that. I've done my Qadha, Allah's happy, move on. But the fact that I disobeyed my Allah Ta'ala in a way which this Fajr Salah was the most important Salah of the day and I missed it, Allah Ta'ala is angry with me. How am I going to overcome the anger of Allah? Just by doing Qadha, you're not sufficient. I need to make Tawbah. I need to ask Allah Ta'ala's forgiveness. The 2 rakat Sunnah I missed before Fajr Salah, the Prophet ﷺ says, is better than the dunya and what it contains. Better than the world and what it contains. Rakat, rakatayni, qabla al-fajri khayrun min al-dunya wa ma fiha. And I missed those 2 rakat Sunnah. I miss the Fajr Salah with Jama'ah. I miss the Ameen of the angels when they have their shift change. The angels of the night, they leave. The angels of the morning, they come. And they all take part in the Fajr Salah in the Masjid. And I miss that. Ya Allah, I'm so sorry. Ya Allah, I'm so remorseful. Ya Allah, please give me the ability to read my Fajr Salah with Jama'ah every single day. Ya Allah, I will never do it again, to the best of my ability. This is remorse, regret. This is the reality of Tawbah. When a person has that, you know, deep guilt and remorse and intention to change. So as I was saying, my dear brothers, this life of this world is short. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to see in us this quality of taqwa, fear of Allah. At every stage a person is cognizant. Allah is watching, Allah is watching, Allah is watching. If I say something wrong to this person, Allah will see. If I do something wrong here, Allah will see. If I steal, Allah will see. If I cheat, Allah will see. If I lie, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see. Allah will ask about you on the day of Qiyamah. If I feel bad, if I feel angry towards him, Allah is watching. If I feel jealousy, Allah is watching. If I feel any form of bad feeling, Allah is watching. How am I going to answer for it on the day of Qiyamah? So then a person straight away gets the ihsas, the realization, I need to sort myself out. I need to become a better person. I can't be like this. I can't remain like this. And then a person starts thinking about preparing for death, which is a reality. Death and the life after death is a reality. At all times, keeping the sight of death in front of us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, "Akthiru dhikra hadhi min ladhat." Remember excessively the thing which breaks and destroys all of the pleasures of this dunya, which is death. You remember death, your money means nothing, your food means nothing, your this means, the clothes mean nothing. Do I need an expensive car, expensive mansion? I'm going to die. What am I going to do with all of this? I'm going to die. What am I going to do with all these things? So remember that death. The pious people would remember. SubhanAllah, they'll make preparation for death. I was reading about the great scholar of Islam, Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahmatullahi. Great scholar. He was known as the Muhaddithul Mashriq, the Muhaddith of the East. If you said Muhaddithul Mashriq in the 5th century of Islam, Muhaddithul Mashriq, this guy is the greatest scholar of hadith in the entire Eastern Peninsula. And then you had Muhaddithul Maghrib, which was Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr al-Maliki in Andalus in Spain. The Muhaddith of the entire Western Peninsula, right? Which was Hafiz ibn Abdul Barr, who's actually from Spain, Islamic Spain, Andalusia. So Khatib al-Baghdadi, rahmatullahi alayhi, said, when I went to perform Hajj, and I drank Zamzam water, I made 3 du'as. And as we all know, the du'a, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned, whatever ma'u Zamzam lima shuribala, whatever intention a person drinks the water of Zamzam with, Allah Ta'ala accepts that. So he went and he made 3 du'as. First du'a was, Ya Allah, this book that I am writing, Tariqhu Baghdad, huge book, one of the biggest books ever written. I think it's like 40 volumes or 30 volumes. Massive, massive book. The history of Baghdad. It's not just a book on history, book on hadith and subhanallah, seerah and on asanid and chains and everything. It's a encyclopedic work. Ya Allah, give me the ability to finish it and to be able to pass it on to my students. Because one is I'm writing it. It's not those days where you can put something online and it'll get proliferated and spread out. It was something you had to write it. You had to ensure that you passed it on to your students so they could pass it on to their students in your lifetime. That continuation is preserved. Ya Allah, give me the ability for my book to continue. Secondly, Ya Allah, give me the ability to teach hadith in a certain institute in Baghdad, one of the main institutes in Baghdad. And third one was, Ya Allah, when I die, let me be buried next to Bishr al-Hafi, rahmatullahi alayh. Bishr al-Hafi, great saint of Allah Ta'ala who is buried in the graveyard of Baghdad. Ya Allah, when I die, please give me the ability to be buried next to Bishr al-Hafi, rahmatullahi alayh. The first two du'as were accepted in his lifetime. And then Khatib Baghdadi, rahmatullahi, passed away. Look at Allah Ta'ala's doing. When a servant has that sincere intention, there was a pious man who stayed in Baghdad, and from a young age he had purchased the area next to the grave of Bishr al-Hafi rahmatullahi alayh. And he had mentally prepared himself, when I die, and this is mentioned by Hafiz al-Dhahabi in Sirah al-Alam al-Nubala, when I die I'm going to be buried in there. He would on a daily basis go into that grave, he would lie down in there, he had recited multiple completions of the Quran in that grave in preparation that when I die, I'm going to pass away there. And then what happened? Khatib Baghdadi passed away. Now Khatib Baghdadi's students come and say to him, look, we know you prepared so many years for this qabr, but please, our ustad's one wish was that he should be buried next to Bishr al-Hafi, and this is the only spot left which you have selected for yourself. He said, if he asked me for anything else, I would have given it. I can't give him that. This is what I've thought of my whole life, of understanding that when I die, I want to be buried next to this pious man of Allah, Bishr al-Hafi rahmatullahi alayhi. So they couldn't make him budge. They said, no, I'm not going to give that away. And then they went to the sheikh of this man, the ustad of this man, of this pious man. I've forgotten his name. Hafiz al-Dhahabi mentions his name in Sirah Alam al-Nubala. They went to his sheikh, and the sheikh called him. He said, look, better, he's explained to him. He said, if Khatib Baghdadi rahmatullahi alayhi was alive today, and Bishr al-Hafi was alive, and Khatib al-Baghdadi were alive, both of them were alive, and you were sitting in front of Bishr al-Hafi, and Khatib Baghdadi came, would you get up from your place and go back out of respect for Khatib al-Baghdadi, or would you keep sitting in that same place? He said, if he was alive, I would definitely get up, and I would move back, and I would sit down out of respect for him, because he's the muhaddith of al-Mashriq, the greatest, one of the greatest scholars of our time. Of course, because he was just a pious man. He wasn't a scholar, this man. He said, of course I would get up and I would go back. He said, it's the same thing here. So this was his wish, his desire. Even though this place really means a lot to you, it's a respect, isn't it? A person's performing salah on the first saf, and so much reward is carried in this. But you see a pious man, a great scholar, someone, and a person says, you know what, out of respect for this person. And this is part of our deen. Part of our deen, respecting our elders and honoring our scholars and pious people and people who are, who have that nearness and closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying, you know what, you can take my spot in the first saf. Inshallah, a person will be rewarded for that. So he said, what would you do if he was alive? He said, I would have given him my spot. I would get up and move and let him sit there. He said, you should do the same thing. So then he realized and he said, I would allow Khatib Baghdadi to be buried in my qabr. And subhanAllah, his third dua was accepted. That he was buried in a qabr that another person had prepared their entire life to be buried in. So my point is, my dear brothers and elders, our life is very short. A person has to be aware that any time death can come, I do not want to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a state where Allah ta'ala is angry with me. Allah is upset with me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would make this dua regularly, excessively. Allahumma ja'al khayra umri akhirahu. وَخَيْرَ عَمَلِي خَوَاتِمَهُ وَخَيْرَ أَيَّامِي يَوْمَ أَلْقَاكَ فِيهِ وَاللَّهُ, make the best of my life the last part of my life. وَخَيْرَ عَمَلِي خَوَاتِمَهُ, make the last actions I do in this life, the best actions I do in this life, the last actions I do. And make the best day in my life the day in which I meet you, O Allah. I want to be happy. I want it to be that you are happy with me and I am happy. I'm pleased with you when I see all the reward that you have given me for the hardship I went through in life and for the pleasures which I sacrificed in life and for the difficulties I went through in life only to please you. I want to be happy at that reward and I want you to be happy with me, O Allah. So the purpose of life, my dear brothers, my elders, my young friends, is to live this life in a way Allah is pleased, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never ever disobey Allah ta'ala. Always think Allah is watching me. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَاهُ. Do you not realize? Allah is always watching. نَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are more closer to him than his jugular vein, right there. Always noticing, always watching, always observing. So whatever time we have left in this world, whatever opportunity we have, we should always do those things which are pleasing to Allah Ta'ala. This month is a month where Allah Ta'ala is disobeyed. This era, this festive season is a season where people are doing things which brings great anger of Allah, it draws the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Christmas celebrations, you know, because something becomes cultural practice, we forget the origins of that. Aqeedah and faith is the most important aspect of a Muslim. Our belief system. If our belief systems are tarnished, then the rest, everything else means nothing. There were many men in the past who were very pious, very, very pious, would fast, so mudawood, one day they would fast, one day they would miss their fast. But they would say such crazy things, and that in the time of Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, they became called the Khawarij. Those people who have left. They've got nothing to do with Islam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prophesies this. A time will come where there'll be some people recite the Quran so beautifully, but the Quran will not pass down their throats. There'll be nothing of the Quran in their lives, but you will see all this worship and all these things. Aqeedah, beliefs, what the Prophet ﷺ left us on, what the Quran preaches. One of the most fundamental things in the Quran so many times is the belief that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has no children. قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدٌ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدُ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ. Allah Ta'ala does not have any children and no one gave birth to Allah Ta'ala. Most fundamental beliefs. It's a belief that every Muslim should feel so much ghira about, that if anyone says Allah has children, Allah Ta'ala came from someone, person should feel, how can you say something like this? This is blasphemous. This is wrong, this is terrible. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala says, تَكَادُ السَّمَاوَاتُ يَتَفَطَّرْنَ مِنْهُ وَتَنْشَقُّ الْأَرْضُ وَتَخِرُّ الْجِبَالُ حَدَّا أَنْ دَعُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ وَلَدًا. It's very near that the earth and the heavens and everything shatters and rips apart, and the mountains shatter into dust out of Allah's anger, because these people, they attribute a son to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the whole Christmas, as much as it's a cultural thing, what happens on Christmas Day? There's a priest, the Archbishop of Canterbury, he'll go and he'll give a huge dua prayer for Christianity, this and that. There's so much elements of faith mixed with this Christianity and Christmas, sorry. So much elements of faith mixed with Christmas. We can't just say Christmas is just a cultural thing. Christmas is just, it's okay. Why are you making everything so serious? We want to give some presents, we want to have some Christmas dinner. If someone insults my father, and now that person is going and having a good time somewhere else, I'm not going to say, he insulted my father, that I'll deal with that later. Let me go and have a good time with him. I'll say, you're insulting my father. Why would I come and celebrate with you? Why would I come and do the same things that you're doing? My father will look at me with anger, that why are you going over there? Similarly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who these people have attributed the worst of lies, fabrications to Allah ta'ala, we are enjoying taking part in their celebrations. We need to consider, if Allah's anger comes, we will also be included in Allah's adab. Allah ta'ala protect us. Allah ta'ala give us the correct understanding. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanakallah, wa bihamdika.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله
Thank you. سنتوں سے فارغ ہو کر ساتھی آگے آگے ہو جائیں, درمیان میں خالی جگہ نہ چھوڑیں ساتھی, تاکہ پیچھے جو ساتھی کھڑے ہیں ان کے لیے جگہ بن جائے. آگے جہاں بھی خالی جگہ دیکھیں ساتھی, نمازیوں کا خیال رکھتے ہوئے آگے آگے ہو جائیں. یہ لاسٹ فرائیڈے جو مسجد کی کلیکشن ہوئی ہے یہ 890 پاؤنڈ ہیں, 890 پاؤنڈ. اللہ پاک آپ کے تعاون کو اپنے دربار میں قبول و مقبول فرمائے اور آپ کے لیے اس مسجد کو صدقہ جاریہ فرمائے. یہ حاجی مہندی خان مرحوم کے لیے ان کی فیملی نے 50 پاؤنڈ مسجد کو دیے ہیں. خصوصی دعا کریں کہ اللہ تعالیٰ مرحوم کی مغفرت فرمائے اور ان کے لیے اس مسجد کو صدقہ جاریہ فرمائے. یہ چودھری جعفر صاحب ہیں, ان کی فیملی نے 50 پاؤنڈ مسجد کو دیے ہیں اور ان کے لیے بھی خصوصی دعا فرمائیں. کچھ بیماری ہے فیملی میں, اللہ پاک انہیں شفاء کاملہ عاجلہ مستمرہ نصیب فرمائے. اور کچھ اور ساتھی ہیں جو بیمار ہیں, دعاؤں کی درخواست کی ہے. تو خاص کر بیماروں کے لیے جتنے بھی ساتھی بیمار ہیں, گھروں میں ہیں, ہسپتالوں میں ہیں, اللہ پاک سب کو شفاء کاملہ عاجلہ مستمرہ نصیب فرمائے.
One or two announcements. So the annual Majlis Dhikr Ijtima will take place in Masjid Zakaria Bolton with Sheikh Asif Hussain Sahib, Damat Barakatum Al-Aliyah, very pious person, saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he'll have his annual Dhikr Majlis, gathering of Dhikr, inshallah. We should try and participate. And similarly, this holiday time that we have, inshallah. Similarly, this holiday time we have, inshallah, we should try and use, especially for our youngsters, we should try and use it in productive things. So like I was mentioning about Christmas, and it's a Christmas festive period, we have to be very careful we don't fall into disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Christmas period, even for non-Muslims, there's a lot of drinking, and a lot of, you know, just enjoyment and pleasures, and we were not created for this purpose, to just live life recklessly however we want. So if I look at the culture, sometimes young boys in madrasa will say to me, oh, you know, I picked this up from the, you know, the non-Muslim children at school. I say, you're not supposed to pick up from the non-Muslims, you're supposed to teach them the correct way. You're supposed to be an example for them. If you say, oh, the non-Muslim children say this, so that's why I'm saying it, they don't see a problem with that, so that's why I don't see a problem with that, they're not our role models. Someone does something in workplaces, in environments, university, college, school, people are doing something. If it's not on the basis of Islam, it doesn't necessarily have to be the best example for us. We should use the understanding Allah Ta'ala has given us. If it's right, it's right. If something is wrong, it's wrong. So all of these Christmas festivities, where it's connected with the, you know, Christmas or Sayyidina Isa Ali, even if it's not directly, indirectly it's linked. So you have to be very, very careful. It becomes normal every year. I'm saying it, and I don't know what will happen in people's homes, Christmas dinners. People are preparing for Christmas dinners from now. People have Muslims of Christmas trees at home. And they think it's innocent, you know, festive spirit. We don't understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being disobeyed on such a mass scale. If Allah's anger comes, we're going to be part of it. And it can happen in anything. Our rizq. We take a hit on our rizq, our sustenance. We take a hit on our family life, our children, our ibadah, our nearness with Allah Ta'ala, our desire, yearning, motivation to perform salah, to worship Allah. Anywhere Allah's anger can be experienced. We don't know, we won't even see it coming. Because it's our job as servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, created by Allah Ta'ala, to always give Allah Ta'ala's laws the highest degree of importance. So be very careful. Christmas Day is Wednesday, 25th of December. Every Wednesday we have our Qur'an tafsir in the masjid in English. So inshallah we'll have a Qur'an tafsir, Suratul Kahf, the lessons of Suratul Kahf after Isha Salah. Please participate in that. Alhamdulillah, it's something that we can look forward to, that inshallah I'm going to go and listen to what Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Qur'an in Suratul Kahf. Alhamdulillah, we have the PowerPoint slides and the brothers sit, and inshallah, you know, at least we're connecting with the book of Allah Ta'ala. So we're doing the opposite of what everybody else is doing. We're doing the opposite of what everybody else is doing. People are disobeying Allah Ta'ala and we are doing something which is bringing us, inshallah, closer to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Allah Ta'ala give us a correct understanding, inshallah.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة
الحمد لله مخرج أوليائه من الظلمات إلى النور ومورد أعدائه ورطات الغرور وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله المخرج للخلائق من الديجور صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه الذين لم تغرهم الحياة الدنيا ولم يغرهم بالله الغرور صلاة تتوالى على مر الدهور ومكر الساعات والشهور أما بعد فمفتاح السعادة التيقظ والفطنة ومنبع الشقاوة الغرور والغفلة فالأكياس هم الذين انشرحت صدورهم للاقتداء بدلائل الاهتداء والمغرور هو الذي ضاق صدره عن الهدى باتباع الهوى فلم ينفتح بصيرته ليكون بهداية نفسه كفيلا وبقي في العمى فاتخذ النفس قائده والشيطان دليلا ومن كان في هذه أعمى فهو في الآخرة أعمى وأضل سبيلا وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى فيه بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فلا تغرنكم الحياة الدنيا ولا يغرنكم بالله الغرور وقال تعالى ولكنكم فتنتم أنفسكم وتربصتم وارتبتم وغرتكم الأماني حتى جاء أمر الله وغركم بالله الغرور وقال تعالى ومنهم أميون لا يعلمون الكتاب إلا أماني وإنهم إلا يظنون وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام لا يؤمن أحدكم حتى يكون هواه تبعا لما جئت به وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام من قال في القرآن برأيه فليتبوأ مقعده من النار وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام شر الأمور محدثاتها وكل بدعة ضلالة. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إن يتبعون إلا الظن وما تهوى الأنفس ولقد جاءهم من ربهم الهدى أم للإنسان ما تمنى فلله الآخرة والأولى. بارك الله لنا ولكم في القرآن العظيم، ونفعنا وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم. استغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كلامه المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك، وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات، وبارك على محمد وأزواجه وذريته. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: أرحم أمتي بأمتي أبو بكر، وأشدهم في أمر الله عمر، وأصدقهم حياء عثمان، وأعلمهم بالحلال والحرام معاذ بن جبل، وأقرأهم لكتاب الله أبي بن كعب، وأفرضهم زيد. ألا وإن لكل أمة أمينا، وأمين هذه الأمة أبو عبيدة بن الجراح. وقال صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كنت مولاه فعلي مولاه. وقال: الله الله في أصحابي، لا تتخذوهم غرضا من بعدي، فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم، ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم. وخير أمتي قرني، ثم الذين يلونهم، ثم الذين يلونهم. اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين، اللهم انصر الإسلام وأهله في كل مكان يا رب العالمين. اللهم أصلح أحوال إخواننا المستضعفين من المسلمين في كل مكان يا رب العالمين، خاصة في غزة وخاصة في السودان وفي جميع أنحاء العالم يا رب العالمين. اللهم إنهم في حاجة عاجلة إلى رحماتك، فأنزل عليهم رحماتك يا رحمن يا رحيم. اللهم خذ بنواصينا إلى البر والتقوى، اللهم خذ بنواصينا إلى البر والتقوى، اللهم خذ بنواصينا إلى البر والتقوى. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم، وتب علينا يا مولانا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله يذكركم، وادعوه يستجب لكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون. Straighten the rules.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله، أشهد أن محمد رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح، قد قامت الصلاة، قد قامت الصلاة. الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله.
Brothers, please straighten the rows, ensure where all the gaps are filled. We're standing shoulder to shoulder. Our trousers should be above our ankles and our heels should be on the back line. Please ensure that mobile phones are also turned on silent. If there's any gaps in front of us, we should move forward, fill them up. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. يسبح لله ما في السماوات وما في الأرض الملك القدوس العزيز الحكيم هو الذي بعث في الأميين رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياته ويزكيهم ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة وإن كانوا من قبل لفي ضلال مبين وآخرين منهم لما يلحقوا بهم وهو العزيز الحكيم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله ذو الفضل العظيم مثل الذين حملوا التوراة ثم لم يحملوها كمثل الحمار يحمل أسفارا بئس مثل القوم الذين كذبوا بآيات الله والله لا يهدي القوم الظالمين قل يا أيها الذين هادوا إن زعمتم أنكم أولياء لله من دون الناس فتمنوا الموت إن كنتم صادقين ولا يتمنونه أبدا بما قدمت أيديهم والله عليم بالظالمين قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعلمون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين قل إن الموت الذي تفرون منه فإنه ملاقيكم ثم تردون إلى عالم الغيب والشهادة فينبئكم بما كنتم تعملون يا أيها الذين آمنوا إذا نودي للصلاة من يوم الجمعة فاسعوا إلى ذكر الله وذروا البيع ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون فإذا قضيت الصلاة فانتشروا في الأرض وابتغوا من فضل الله واذكروا الله كثيرا لعلكم تفلحون وإذا رأوا تجارة أو لهوا انفضوا إليها وتركوك قائما قل ما عند الله خير من اللهو ومن التجارة وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. استغفر الله. اللهم انت السلام منك السلامة ورحمة الله جلاله. اللهم هاينا لذكرك وشكرك. اللهم ربنا اتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة. ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين. اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولأساتذتنا ولمشايخنا ولأصدقائنا ولأحبابنا ولأقاربنا ولمن له حق علينا ولمن أوصانا بدعاء لجميع أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت ولي مولاها. اللهم حبب إلينا الإيمان وزينه في قلوبنا وكره إلينا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان واجعلنا من عبادك الراشدين. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم إنا نسألك الهدى والتقى والعفاف والغنى وجعلنا من عبادك الراشدين. اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك وعوننا بفضلك عن من سواك. اللهم توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالصالحين غير خزايا ولا نداما ولا مفتونين. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جميع الفتن ما ظهر منها ما بطن. اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الهم والحزن ونعوذ بك من العجز والكسل ونعوذ بك من الجبن والبخل ونعوذ بك من غلبة الدين وقهر النجال. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم أصلح أحوال المسلمين في كل مكان. اللهم انصر المستضعفين من المسلمين في كل مكان وبغفر وارحم إنك أنت العزيز الأكرم. صلى الله وسلم على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.